Psalm 147. This is, well, actually, last week, Psalm 146 was the first of the five Hallel Psalms. They're called Hallel because they all begin with praise the Lord and they end with praise the Lord, which in the Hebrew is hallelujah. And that's where we get our word hallelujah. It's fun. You could go to any country and no matter what language they're speaking, no matter what language they're praying in or singing in, hallelujah is always the same. You hear that hallelujah in Russia. I hear it in Peru. Heard it everywhere. And so they are called the Hallel Psalms. And some translations, I guess it does start with hallelujah, ends with hallelujah. But ours, well, mine, New King James starts praise the Lord, puts it in English, makes it easy. So anyway, those of you who are wondering what hallelujah means, that's it. It's just praise the Lord. And so last week we did 146. Tonight we're doing 147. The cool thing about the Hallel Psalms is that they give us a reason to praise the Lord. There's the command and encouragement to praise the Lord. But we're not just doing it because it says to, but God in His Word gives us good reasons to praise Him. And that is to tell Him how great He is, to bless Him, to thank Him, to speak well of Him. And so so with that said, let's pray. Father, I want to thank You so much for bringing us here tonight. Thank You for sustaining our lives, that because You have a plan for us, and You're not done. And so, Lord, for tonight, I pray that You would teach us what it is to really praise You, that we would understand that while You desire for us to praise You, it's something that You want to do in us, some greater thing that happens when we do praise You. So I just pray that would be happening with us tonight, that we might learn something and we might be encouraged to behave in a manner that maybe we never thought of. So have Your way with us tonight, Lord. We ask You in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. Boom. That's it. How simple is that? How easy is that? So much of Christianity today has everything to do with our senses and us feeling good and getting some really cool feeling out of it or something like that. And I am a guy that likes to overcorrect that thing. And what I mean is that, you see, our lives are meant to bless God always, regardless of what we get out of it. And our lives should not be lives that are continually looking for another high from God. However, comma, the Bible is clear that when we praise Him, it's good, it's pleasant, and it's beautiful, not just to Him, but to us. And some of y'all understand that and have experienced that, and that is that when we are praying to Him, when we are setting everything else aside, focusing on Him, giving Him the attention, and telling Him how awesome He is, something wonderful happens to us. And it is an intimacy with God that He desires from all of us. This is not a cold relationship that we have with Him. This is not something where we are having a relationship with His rules, but rather He is, well, He's God Almighty, and He came down in the form of a man. Jesus, we can understand Him as that man who loves us so much and desires a relationship with us. And we see Jesus in the Gospels, you know, with His relationships with Mary and Martha and Lazarus and so many people. And that's the kind of a relationship that He would have with us. Now, Mary was one that would always be found at His feet, listening to Him or, you know, pouring perfume on His feet or whatever, you know. All she wanted to do was be with Him, give Him all the attention, and as a result, she received more from Jesus than the other people did. And so I want us to understand that we are not to be in this for the feelings, yet we should be in this for the Lord. Yet when we are truly in this for the Lord, sometimes it's going to feel great. It's just going to feel amazing. Now, if you've lost that love and feeling, you know, don't worry about it. Just keep doing the right thing. Because those feelings will come and go. But the Bible is clear. Praise is pleasant and it's beautiful, not just to him, but to us. I think about the Song of Solomon. It's a tough book to get through. And yet when I taught through it, the Lord taught me one major thing that I never thought I'd get out of it. And that is that he desires that intimacy with us. He likes us a lot. And he wants us to stop and tell him how great he is. He wants us to stop and thank him. Sit with him. There's nothing more enjoyable for me in this time of my life than when my grandchildren will stop and sit with me. That is the great thrill of life. And the Lord desires that from you and me. And so, with that, when we praise the Lord, remember, he knows everything about himself. So when we say it to him, he never learns anything new, or he's never surprised by any wonderful thing we say to him about who he is. In fact, we'll never be able to use our own language to articulate how great he is, because he's much greater than anything we can ever tell him. But what happens is that it reminds us how great he is. Sometime in prayer, and we're gonna sing to him tonight, but sometime in prayer, just take some time and tell God all the great things he is, all the great things he has done, all the great things he has promised. And something happens to you when you do that. Also, it is good to sing. Skip down to verse 7. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God. Sing. Sing. Some people, I don't sing. I don't sing. That's one thing I don't do. Well, but God tells you to. Go for it. You know, okay, you may not be good enough to be in the choir. You know, I might think you sing like a goat. But God wants to hear your voice. He wants to hear that, as it reads in Hebrews chapter 13. He wants to hear that sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to him. And so it may be a sacrifice to you tonight. Okay, so we're going to work on this tonight. Tonight we're practicing, okay? It may be a sacrifice to you. It may be difficult for you to open your mouth and actually make sound come out. But do it. Sacrifice it to the Lord. Hey, I go through it too. It's great that I have to come to church and I'm the guy that has to like lead the singing. So I don't even have a choice. That's a wonderful place to be in. Because sometimes I'm like you, I'm in a cranky mood. But when we sing, it's like, oh, the words, they all come to me. Remember who God is, and I'm opening my mouth, and it's like, suddenly it's not all about me anymore, and it's all about God. But the problem is, out here in the red chairs, you got a choice. You say, well, I'm just not singing today because I don't feel like it, and I just don't like the way the day's been going. Man, give it up, get over yourself, and sing praises to God. Don't worry about what your neighbors thinks about your voice. You're not singing for your neighbor anyway. You're singing for the Lord. All right, so let's look at this. We get this is so good, because this whole psalm is all about the wonderful reasons we have to praise him. Verse 2, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. I want you to understand that verses 2 through 6, it's like, well, verses 4 and 5 don't really go with verses 2, 3, and 6 because, well, you know, verses 4 and 5, he knows every star. He's named them. We can't even count them. Remember, he tells Abraham, he says, you know, look up at the sky and count the stars if you can. Your descendants are going to be more numerous than the stars. And you know, scientists have tried to count the stars, and they always come up with a bigger number every year. They say, well, there are some 40 billion, zillion, zillion stars. And then they, well, we found out there's more stars than that. Well, however many stars there are, God's got a name for each one of them. He knows each star intimately. Now, stars are the planets and different suns and different, you know, I don't know, other stuff out there floating around the universe. Many things which are in greater size than the earth. And there's billions and billions and billions of them. And he knows each one of those intimately because he formed each one with his word. He spoke them into existence. So he knows the vastness of the universe. And yet, that's verses 4 and 5. And yet, he also knows the very details of your life. And it's crazy that he concerns himself with the details of your life. But he does. In fact, none of us would be saved here today if the Lord wasn't interested in the details of our lives. Because he came to us personally, didn't he? Just amazing. Look at verse 2. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. And so, remember, the writers of these Psalms, and some suggest this could be David who wrote this. Nobody knows. But you know, they understand that God had chosen Israel and Jerusalem being the capital. And so they knew that God had his eyes on them. In fact, at the very end of this psalm, it goes right back to that thought. But so here's God with his focus on little old Jerusalem, his focus on the Israelites, whom God even told them in Exodus chapter 23, says, don't go thinking you're all that hot and everything because you're not greater than any other nation. In fact, you're less than every other nation. Says, but I chose you. Oh, he even called them stiff-necked in that chapter. No, you're just a bunch of stiff-necked donkeys, you guys. Oh, but I love you, and I want to work with you. And that's, so, fact, God builds up Jerusalem, but he gathers together the outcasts. Remember, God, and you see it throughout, you see it in life, you see it, and we're going to see it at the very end of the age, that God gathers up the outcasts, those who the rest of this world would spit out. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against the second time, to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea. He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Think about this and how Israel was taken into captivity into Assyria, and then Judah, the southern tribes, were taken into captivity into Babylon. They were outcasts, not just because they were of the lowest people, but they had even rejected God. And God says, I'm going to let you go. And they were taken out. And you know what the Lord says? I'm going to bring back the outcast. Even though they were at fault for being outcast. That's a really good reason to praise God. Much of the trouble the world finds themselves in has everything to do with their rejection of God and unwillingness to walk in righteousness. And yet those are the ones that God is lifting up and taking care of and bringing to himself. It's a wonderful thing. And I also see David, King David, as a picture of Christ, because we know that that's what Jesus came to do. And as we watch Jesus walk in the Gospels, and what does he do? He's going to the lowest. He's going to the blind, the lame, the deaf, and those who were the outcasts of Israel. David is a picture of Christ. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2, it says, "And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented gathered to David. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him." And what did David do with those men? He turned them into mighty men of God. And so the outcasts, the losers, the way down there people, God has his eyes on them in order to lift them out. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, verse 3. That is, well, partly a quote from Isaiah chapter 61 when it speaks of Messiah, of Jesus. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." And those who are broken, Jesus picked up and turned them into something else. You are brokenhearted today, perhaps. In fact, sometimes you wonder if you're usable at all in God's hands. Maybe you've been brokenhearted from a long time ago, or maybe it just happened yesterday. And we're not talking even brokenhearted from a broken relationship, she left me and all of that. No. Broken hearts come from, all kinds of horrible things that happen in our lives. And the Lord sees that broken heart, and he comes to the brokenhearted. The good thing about having a broken heart is that we're more apt to listen to the Lord at that point. At which point he takes the broken person and he puts you back together. Remember Jeremiah chapter 18, when God told Jeremiah to go to the potter's house. He goes, "Look at the potter, watch the potter. He was making something at the wheel, but it was marred in his hand. Guess who we are? We are the people who are marred in his hand." And so he makes us into something else. That's what God does with brokenhearted people. It's a great reason to praise him. So, hey, if you're brokenhearted today and you feel like, God hasn't done anything with my broken heart. Hey, he is doing something with your broken heart. He is. You're going to look back on this day, and one day you're going to see it. Say, wow, God was amazing. So, go down to verse 7. Let's do this part again. "Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God." So we can use instruments too. "To our God who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beasts its food and to the young ravens that cry." It's a reason to praise the Lord. First of all, the command to sing. Back to what I'd said before, I'm going to say it again. Sing. Just sing. "But I can't sing." Well, you know that God has given us the alternative: make a joyful noise to the Lord, those of you who can't sing, and it may sound like noise to your neighbor, but it's beautiful to the Lord. So can it just encourage you tonight to open your mouth and sing. But he gives us the good reasons here, and the reasons here in verses 8 and 9, let me simplify this, is that God is the ruler of all nature. He is the one who sets everything in its order. In Job, I think chapter 37, 38, when God finally stops everybody's nonsense and he shows up and he says to Job, "Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the world?" And then he goes on to describe even just the patterns of the tides of the ocean and about all such things and how God had placed all of these things on a circuit. He placed them there. He made them happen. And we see throughout history that he can change those weather patterns as well. So he's the ruler of all nature. And also, he's doing it for the sake of the wild beasts and the ravens. He cares about them. And if he cares about them, what did Jesus say about sparrows, right? And that if he cares about sparrows, what makes you say the silliest things that some God doesn't care about me? Right? But God cares about everything on this planet. That's a great reason to praise him. Verse 10, he does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. Ah, what does God like? Fact, God needs no one. God is not standing by hoping that the church gets their, hoping that the church gets their act together so God can get something done. He's not looking for somebody who's just really good, say for instance, really good at evangelism. Somebody who's really good at this or really good at that so God can say, oh good, I've needed you. God needs no one. We need him. It's very simple. And God takes pleasure not in those who just say, you know, I'm good at this, I'm good at this, I'm wonderful, this is how it is, and God's lucky to have me in the church. No, God would rather... Well, God takes pleasure in those who just realize, hey, you know what, Lord, I'm nothing, I need you. And you know, and God, back to the broken person, broken-hearted person, those are the only ones God can really use. All people who believe they're strong and they've got something really special to offer God, they don't listen very well to the Lord. I think about being broken and being brought to a place where I'm certain that I'm of no use to the Lord. I am serious. Those are the days when I listen best. Personally, that's my personal testimony on that. I listen the best when I think the least of myself. Now, this isn't, don't go getting weird on me. This is not about flogging yourself and how important it is to flog yourself. No, this is just about being realistic in the fact that God doesn't need any of us and that we need God. And that the person who is broken and comes to him in that shape is the person that the Lord takes pleasure in and says, oh, it's good to see you. So, verse 12. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. You know, it's so funny. I'm hearing noise like back here, and I wonder if it's a rat. Okay. Mark disappeared over here, and he was gone, and all of a sudden, all this noise back here. I think he's getting bored with the study and says, I'm going to go get something done in the back over there. Verse 12, praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, praise your God, O Zion, for he has strengthened the bars of your gates, he has blessed your children within you, he makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. Check it out. Praise the Lord because, number one, he protects you. That's the strengthening of the bars of the gate. So he's protecting you. Secondly, he is blessing your children. By the way, I am blessed with my children. God blesses them. They love the Lord. Are they perfect people? Sure. No, they're not. They realize their weaknesses. They realize they need the Lord. And there's nothing more wonderful to a parent than to have, you know, his children understand they need the Lord. And I'm blessed by that, but I'm also blessed how they are with other people. I don't know, maybe they've snubbed you, but how they are really with the lowest people. That's what I admire in my children more than anything, is that all three of them will find somebody who's way down there and they're brokenhearted and they're on it. And there's nothing that blesses me more than that, to see compassion in my own children. All right, so what I'm telling you is I'm experiencing God's blessing through my children. What else? Praise the Lord. Why? Because he gives peace, because that's what we're all looking for anyway, right? Just peace in our hearts. And he fills you with the finest wheat. He gives you food. He's taking care of you. He's feeding you plenty. All right. I want you to see the key, though, within all of this, and it's in verse 14. He makes peace in your borders. They stay within the boundaries and the borders that God has given them, and they will be blessed. Talking about Israel, you and I have the same types of boundaries and borders. When we start kicking against the boundaries and borders, and we start looking at life outside of God's will, we start thinking in terms of satisfying our flesh, even at the expense of the Spirit. Well, we're going to find that maybe we're not at peace. Maybe our children are not a blessing. Maybe we're not being protected. Maybe we're going through that thing, as it reads in Haggai chapter 1, you know, we're earning money, but only to put it into bags with holes. Our pockets have holes in them. What's going on? Well, I don't know. Are you staying within the borders? Are you staying within him? Now, we don't have borders. We're even talking about the law itself, right? Talk about this morning about the law being a fence. And that when you come to Christ and you have his grace in you now, well, the fence is taken down. The borders are taken down. And we're free in every way. But our hearts have been changed to cause us to want to stick with the Lord. So we don't need fences around us. You know, just like law-abiding citizens really don't need laws. Good people don't need laws. So then how can we relate this thing about the borders and God's going to give you peace? Well, John chapter 15, Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. And every branch in me, and he goes on with the whole thing about that bears fruit, the Father will prune. But if you don't bear fruit, Father will take it away. But he says, if you abide in me, anything you ask, you can have. But if you don't abide in me, you're not going to have any fruit. You're not going to have anything. And so the whole key, the answer to all of this stuff is we abide in Christ. And as we're abiding in Christ, and that is desiring the things of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, getting to know him better, spending time with him, wanting his character in us, if that is our desire, if that's our life, then you know what happens? You're protected. You're protected. Think of it. So simple. You realize you're protected against maybe the police arresting you and throwing you on the ground and shooting you or whatever. I don't have. How many of you worry about that on a daily basis? It's like, you know, you go out there saying, man, I hope the police don't get me today. No, you're not doing anything stupid. And it's like, if you don't do anything stupid, then cops are your friends. I mean, it's really simple. as you walk with the Lord, you're protected. Your children are blessed after you, and there's peace. Oh, when we have our focus on the Lord. Isn't that messed up that we Christians can go through time periods where there is no peace? What is wrong with us? You know, that's like somebody he's telling me you can't pay your bills, but you got $1 zillion in the bank. But wait, you got a zillion dollars. I know, but I can't get to the bank. Or I don't know what it's. Anyway, so we stay within the borders. We stick with the Lord Jesus Christ. We walk with him. We get to know him. And as we do, it is blessing. And so, verse 12, praise the Lord. These are great reasons to praise the Lord. Okay, he sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. We're back on the weather again. The atheist or the agnostic will give us the scientific reasons for all of these things, where the cold comes from and where the, you know, and why it melts and where the waters flow and all of that stuff. But, you know, God is the one who set them in order. And God also has switched these things up on us, as I had said before. He did it in the case of Egypt when he poured hail all over Egypt just at his word. In the chastening of Israel, there have been many times, even throughout from the time we met Abraham, there have been times of famine. And God's the one who brought the famine. And there was no rain for 7 years. So God changes things up. He does this. And while we have, what do you call it, scientists and meteorologists who look at all the patterns and all of this, we got the satellites that figure it all out. You know what? You can figure it all out all you want. But one thing nobody will ever figure out is how that started and why. Because this stuff just doesn't happen by chance. It had to have started somewhere. And that is our God. And since we understand that, and we see the weather patterns, and we see all of these things, my goodness, we may as well just praise the Lord, because he is in charge of all of that. Which also tells us, you know, when we need rain, go ahead and pray for rain. If you're tired of the rain, pray that he stops it. You know, just go ahead and pray. He's the one in charge of all of this. I don't care what the weather report says. Verse 19, he declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise the Lord. And here, the Israelite who wrote this, whomever it may be, is saying, and he has given us his word. He has not given anybody else this inside information to him. Now, they know that it's all true because everything God ever said to them ended up coming to pass. And so here they are with the inside track on who God is. And there's something so wonderful to be in cahoots with the creator of the universe. God gave it to Israel. And then when Messiah came, Israel rejected Messiah. And so then God offered all of it to the whole world. And that's why you and I are here tonight. Because we have, for those of us who believe, those of us who have confessed Christ, we have eternal life in him. We have been saved to the uttermost. And there's a whole bunch of people in this world that don't have what you and I have. And we want them to have it. But every once in a while, you got to take a step back and say, why did you choose me, Lord? I don't get it, but I'm happy. Personally, I am happy. Blown away that he would choose me. And so with that, the last three words of the psalm, praise the Lord. And so we're going to sing a little bit. We're going to offer him the fruit of our lips, giving thanks. We're going to sing. We're going to open our mouths, make noise come out. And your heart may be broken today. Your heart may not be into it. You know what's great? He doesn't consult with us whether or not we're into it. He just says, do it. Get your head in the right place and you will be into it. And so tonight I'm hoping we can do that. All right, Father, we do thank you for your word. And we have every reason to praise you. Lord, personally, I just want to thank you that for the little creep inside of me that you and I have been talking about. I'm so blessed that you love me and that you are working in me and that you're using me at all. And I know, Lord, that each of us in this life, up and down with whatever it may be, Lord, I just pray that we would all just come to this one place right now where that regardless of what's going on, either inside of us or outside of us or all around us, you are God and you are seeking to bless us. And you have blessed us and we will be blessed forevermore. That is a fact, Lord, and we praise you for that fact. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.